Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the Ulama Profile with myself, Ubaidullah Boja. And we're back with each other after, well, just under a month or over a month that we have not been on air. And everything, alhamdulillah, with the grace and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has got back to normal. So, alhamdulillah, we start the Ulama Profile program. And we speak of our elders, our seniors, our scholars that have passed on. Because it is their sacrifice, their sincerity, their actions that have led us to be able to follow the great deen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. Today we speak about one of the ulama of that have passed away last year around the November time, and that is Maulana Hatia rahmatullahi alayhi from Newcastle. And to speak about it and to discuss it, we have one of the imams of the Newcastle and a friend of mine, family as well, who were in the same room in the Darul Ulum also for some time, Maulana Ridwan. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Maulana, jazakallah for taking out your time this evening to be able to speak of one of the seniors of Newcastle and obviously one of the seniors of our country, and that is Maulana Hatia rahmatullah alayhi.
Jazakumullah khairan for the opportunity, Hazrat Maulana.
Maulana, in terms of Maulana Hatia rahmatullah alayhi from Newcastle, if probably you can give us a bit of background into Maulana's childhood and his studies.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Very briefly, Maulana was born in 1934. So at the time of Maulana's demise, Maulana was around the age of 83 years. Maulana Harun Abbas Umar had mentioned to me that Maulana was the most senior alim in the KZN area at the age of 83 years. And in the entire country, perhaps the fourth or fifth most senior at that age. So Maulana was born in 1934. Very sadly, Maulana lost his mother at the age of 2 years. Maulana had an elder brother who is still living, 2 years elder. In fact, Maulana's elder brother is a quite a unique person as well. In Gujarat, the area where he is from, he is known as Chota Bhai Hatia. He is the Amir of the effort of Dawood in Tabligh. And he is involved in the effort of Tabligh from the time of Hazrat Ji Maulana Yusuf Rahmatullah Alayh. In fact, he is still living. This is Maulana's brother. He is currently about 86 years. He was 2 years elder. And very recently, he spent 4 months Jamaat in Malawi, despite his ill health. But Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala has accepted and is still using him for the khidmat of deen. But nevertheless, Maulana was born in 1954. At the age of 2 years, he lost his mother. And then he went on to stay with his grandmother. But it was not very long thereafter, perhaps a few years, that Maulana's grandmother also passed away. So at a very young age, at approximately the age of 10 years, Maulana was admitted into Anand, where Maulana studied his Hifz. He completed his Hifz in Quran, started his Alim course there as well, did the first initial years. And then Maulana moved on to Randair Jamia Ashrafiya. In Randair, Maulana studied under Sheikh Ajmeri Rahmatullah Ali. He did his Bukhari Sharif. And like this, in Randair, Maulana had completed his Alim course. Thereafter, Maulana wanted to further his Alim course, and Maulana went on to study at Darul Ulum Deoband. When Maulana was at Darul Ulum Deoband, he did Bukhari Sharif for the second time, and this time he did it under Maulana Fakhruddin Muradabadi Rahmatullah Ali. Maulana read his entire Quran and did Quran again by Hazrat Maulana Asad Madni Rahmatullah Alayhi, and Maulana studied in that Darul Ulum Deoband period Tarjamatul Quran under Maulana Anzar Shah Kashmiri Rahmatullah Alayhi. So briefly, this is Maulana's youth, 1934, loses his mother at 2, goes on to stay with his grandmother. Not long thereafter, a few years later, he loses his granny, finishes his Hifz in Anand, does his initial years of Alim course there as well, goes on to finish in Randair, and then further his studies at Darul Ulum Deoband.
Maulana, the Tarjamatul Quran you made mention, he studied by Maulana Anwar Shah Kashmiri.
Maulana Anzar Shah Kashmiri, the son of Maulana Anwar Shah
Kashmiri. Okay, alhamdulillah. Respected listeners, if you have any messages, or if you knew Maulana, or if you interacted and you would like to share, do send me a message. The number is 071-878-9748. And obviously we are discussing one of the senior ulama of KZN region, perhaps the most senior and one of the senior ulama of our country, Mawlana Hatia Rahmatullah Alayh, and Mawlana Ridwan Rawat, the Imam of the Newcastle Jamia Masjid, is with us on air this evening. Mawlana, perhaps we can just look at a little bit of, once Mawlana then completed and farid, obviously some of his dini khidmat that he had rendered to the community.
After Mawlana had completed in Darul Uloom Deoband, Mawlana went on and was the Imam in Panoli in India for an approximate duration of about 10 years. Thereafter, Mawlana had left India and settled in Malawi. Mawlana did Imamate in Malawi for approximately 5 years. Thereafter, Mawlana moved on to Zimbabwe. Mawlana did Imamate responsibilities and duties in Zimbabwe for about 9 years. And then Mawlana moved to Newcastle. And Mawlana remained the Imam in Newcastle for approximately 25 years.
Okay.
So collectively, if we take, Mawlana was Imam in Panoli for 10 years, in Malawi for 5 years, Zimbabwe 9 years, and 25 years in Newcastle, Mawlana did Imam till the first quarter of 2009, but collectively, Mawlana did Imamate for approximately 49 years. That is 49 years of Imamate. And with that, the responsibilities which are attached to Imamate. Although Mawlana, during the early months of 2009, had stopped doing Imamate, there was a need to do a knee replacement. But Mawlana continued with whatever khidmat and services needed to be rendered in the community, whether it was social work, whether it was performing nikahs, whether it was, performing janazas, attending functions, whatever was needed to be done, Mawlana was always ready. But this point sticks out very clear and is a motivation for weak ones like us, that a complete 49 years of Imamate really is a sterling effort and contribution to this deen.
Definitely so, Mawlana. We have some messages coming in, and some of them are fairly lengthy. They've come in already. And that is, there are three messages I would like to read out. The one is from the daughter of Hazrat Mawlana, and she writes, "My respected, most beloved and pious father was a man who, when you see him, you remember Allah. When you speak to him, your knowledge increased. And when you spend time with him, you feel that you are the most special person in his life." And this here obviously is written by his daughter. She says, "He was very much part of our life and part of our children's lives as well. His day and night was full of a'mal, and he was steadfast on this throughout his life. Until a month before his demise, when sickness overtook him, he never slept after Fajr Salah, no matter what the weather was. He would read 5 juz of the Quran daily, and then after breakfast it was durood, tasbih, and dua. Daily after 9 p.m., if I had any difficulty, he would lighten my heart and had a solution to every problem. The solution would always be to turn our attention to Allah Ta'ala. He would give us an easy a'mal to do and would say, if you read this every day, 100% and 1000% your need will be fulfilled by Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. His heart was filled with iman and yaqeen in Allah. His entire life, he was a man of the masjid. Even as a young school child, I remember my father would spend hours in the masjid after every salah. He would be the last person to leave after Isha. The muadzin would have to wait for him to leave so that he could lock up the masjid and close the doors. He would come home and say to us, the muadzin had to lock the masjid, so I had to come home. Otherwise, I would have sat much longer. In spite of coming so late, he would then still sit and complete his surahs and his wazaif before he slept, and he would not sleep until all was read." She further goes on to say, and this is written by the daughter, "I wondered to myself that he sat so long in the masjid and still has so much to read. I asked him, he said to me, all alone in the masjid when I make dhikr, I feel a sweetness on my tongue. The taste is sweeter than mitai. His age, he would walk with his walker and go to the masjid, especially on a Wednesday. He loved to be part of the ingash. He would spend time with the jamaat that came. he would request the du'as. He would always advise me to request jamaat and ulama to make du'a for my children. His only request of du'as was that he asked for forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was very neat and tidy, and particular about things. Even his chair had to be in a specific way. All kinds of people, from different backgrounds, the wealthy, the affluent, the less wealthy, the professionals, the young and the old, even the children would come and sit in his company. He would talk to them at their level, and he would make them laugh. He would give people wada'if to read. At the tip of his tongue, he would say, I am reading this every day for the past 70 years. Anyone who visited him at home must have something to eat. And when leaving, he would say, when are you coming again? Lastly, I must mention that as a child, I remember every Sunday without fail, my beloved father would dress up, go to visit the qabr. Every Friday without fail, my beloved father would dress up, go to the qabristan at 11:30. He would say to us, this is our final resting place. We visit the qabristan so that we can remember our death. Allah Ta'ala destined for him to rest in the qabristan on Sunday at 11:30. The lesson that I learned is that as we love, this is how we will die. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us steadfast on iman, take us away from iman, and may he fill the grave with the breeze of Jannah. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. And that was written by the daughter of Hazrat Mu'ana Hatia rahmatullah alayhi. So Ridwan, some very pertinent and important aspects that come to light from this letter that we have just read, Maulana.
100%. Maulana's life, and like his daughter has explained, without a doubt was the masjid. That Maulana was known for having spent a lot of time in the masjid. In fact, during the month of Ramadan, Maulana would very seldom leave the masjid. Even this last Ramadan which passed, where Maulana was ill, you know, he was on dialysis, but Maulana would sit in the masjid for minimum from Asr right up to Isha Salah. And this was despite his ill health, and like the daughter highlights, it was only when the muazzin would come to Maulana and ask for him to leave the masjid, then only he left the masjid. Otherwise, he tried to spend as much time as possible. And yes, he's, you know, many other points that she has mentioned, you know, how particular he was, and, you know, the advices that he shared with them. These are all very, very important points.
Definitely. A point that I've just picked up in the whole thing is that Maulana would read a particular wazifa, and he would say that I've been reading this for the better part of 70 years. You and I as listeners respected. You know, sometimes we read a wazifa and we're like expecting that almost immediately that the help must come, or the reason why I read the wazifa must come to fruition and I must be able to see it. And obviously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has that power. It is not that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot do it. But it is just a lesson for us. There are times when you're going to read these things, it's going to take a while before that impact and that power and that feeling of that wazifa has actually come in and enters the heart to such an extent that when you read it, as Maulana, as the daughter says, Maulana would actually be able to feel the sweetness of that wazifa while he was reading it. I've got two more letters that I just would like to share with the listeners, and thereafter, inshallah, we will take Maulana Musa Akudi, who was also knew Maulana very well. So the letter goes on to say, and this comes from one of the grandchildren, the most important lesson I learned from my grandfather is the value of life. He loved and enjoyed life. With that comes the value of time. He had certain times every day to do things. He, for example, the time of eating, sleeping, tilawa, and would not want to be disturbed when reading his daily 5 juz a day. He read abundant durood. He knew how to utilize his time wisely. He had a lot of love for the Quran, and he completed many khatams during the month of Ramadan, and he had advised others to do the same. He made everyone feel special, says the granddaughter, one of the qualities of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Every person felt like they had a big place in his big heart. hospitality. He had lots of love for his family and for those who visited him. He would not let anyone go without having something to eat, even if it was something small. He would then eat with us or with the visitors, and he would make them feel very comfortable. He would come down to the people's level and speak of that which interested them. This is something, respected listeners, that we have to learn. And at times you're going to be speaking to different groups of people, different categories of people. You're going to be speaking to people from a very broad background. And everyone doesn't have the intelligence that we have. Everyone doesn't share the experience that we have. Everyone has got a different outset and a different outlook of life. We must be able to come to the level of the people that we are engaging in, and not the other way around. Then they further go on to say, he even made time to play with children. Even if it wasn't physical playing, he would play, explain to them a game in his broken English and make them play it among themselves while he watched them. He would tickle them to make them laugh. Another quality of Rasulullah ﷺ, and is that he loved kids. He expressed himself with regards to his love. He told you that he loved you. As a grandchild, I recall many a time he would hug me wholeheartedly, kiss me on the cheek, and he would tell me that he loved me. With regards to compliments, the grandchild writes, he would compliment you according to your personality, and he always encouraged you to keep it up. Whenever you did a bit of khidmat for him, he would always make dua for you. And this is another quality that we have to keep in mind. And that is, whenever anyone does anything or achieves anything, instead of running them down, instead of thinking, you know what, I deserve to be done, people don't acknowledge me, people don't know me, but rather make dua for people, even if they've done a little bit to encourage you, to serve you, to make your life a bit easier. The person goes on to say, he would advise and remind you of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is, while eating, eat with three fingers, eat with your right hand, read Bismillah, while in the car, read the du'as, etc. With every sitting that I had with him, I recalled him speaking about Allah, the prophets, the sahaba, and the pious. He would narrate beautiful stories that remind us about death, the qabr, punishment for not carrying out the command of Allah. However, he would also speak about the wonders of Jannah and the rewards of the year after. He was physically, emotionally, and spiritually very strong. His memory was exceptional till his last day. Although he was strong-minded, he was also soft and would weep easily. He loved the masjid. He devoted much of his time to it. Besides his imamah, he would sit for long hours in the masjid when there was nobody in the masjid. The condition of his health would not stop him, but just control the time that he spent and the manner he spent in the masjid. For an example, first he walked, then he used a walking stick and then a walker, after which he used a wheelchair. He even attended his last Jummah Salah with a lot of help, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such, because Salah was an important aspect in the life of Maulana. So again, respected listeners, many aspects coming to the fore, many things that are being brought out, and all of these things are very, very important. These are lessons of life that we need to live with. These are lessons of life we need to imbibe with. These programs are not here for us to say what a great man he was and forget about it. We acknowledge his greatness, and equally we make sure that we personify that. And that is something that is required by each one of us to do, is to personify those great scholars that we profile on a Thursday night on Radio Islam International. One of the ulama that knew him and spent some time with him and was there in the Newcastle Masjid for itikaf was Maulana Musa Akhuri Sahab, also one of the senior ulama of the East region of our country. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Maulana?
Alhamdulillah, very well. Maulana, jazakallah so much for taking your time this evening. Maulana, your interaction with Maulana Hatia rahmatullah alayhi, and some of the incidents that you could share with us this evening?
No, Alhamdulillah, Summa Alhamdulillah, I had many interactions with this great personality. I can clearly state, you know, that a man of great humility. And right now, you know, the elderly ulama, we find very, very few of them. And when you happen to meet them and you sit with them, then their words are full of wisdom. And Maulana was one such person. I remember, you know, he would long to sit and talk to me, and I would long to sit and talk to him. And we should spend a great amount of time together when we were in the masjid. Alhamdulillah, you know, as we have stated earlier, Maulana was a man, rahmatullah alayhi, a man of the masjid. And even his son, Mufti Hatia Sahib, had offered him to come and stay along with him, but he never left the precincts of the masjid. And although he lived upstairs, he still went up and down in the latter part of his life with a great amount of difficulty, but he was attached to the masjid. In my interaction with Hazrat Maulana, Maulana always would mention to me, "Bas ye dua farma dijiye ki Allah Ta'ala ke ghazab se Allah Ta'ala humko bachaye. Allah Ta'ala save us from his anger and from his wrath." This was something that he emphasized. And he always requested, and you know, like with absolute humility, and he would plead, and he would say, "Please make dua for me. Tell your sheikh as well, when you meet him, he must make dua for my maghfirat, and that Allah Ta'ala save me from his ghazab." He would, when you go and visit him in hospital, and apparently I had tried sending you out you know, the recording, but it was unsuccessful. But inshallah, on some time or the other, when we can, it was very soft basically, but Maulana was on his hospital bed, and he had spoken about these very, very same things, and, you know, he gave a lot of nasihat in those, you know, in the weeks before he had passed away while he was in hospital. So he was always this, you know, just desirous of asking people to make dua for him, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save him and save us from his ghazab and his wrath. And he says, you know, we think we have done so much a'mal, but our a'mal are so little, he says, compared to the wrong that we have done. So he has absolute humility, in spite of being a person of such a high caliber, and being a person who had made so much ibadat, and who read so much tilawat of the noble Quran. You know, who had so much khawf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then, I remember he would always tell me, he says that, you know, when you go to the multism, make dua for me. And after he had passed away, this humble servant, this Aziz, had the opportunity of going to Makkah Mukarramah in November last year. And I remember that the area is very congested, and there are renovations at the Haram. And alhamdulillah, I was with a group, and I completed the seventh circuit, and I usually keep the first timers with me, and I told them, I said that, "Look here, it's going to be difficult to come back here towards the Baytullah unless you are in the state of Ihram. So come on, let's just go down to the Baytullah and go and cling at the Baytullah and go and make dua." And I went out towards the Multism, and you won't believe me, because I had this pledge that I had made to Hazrat Maulana Rahmatullah Ali, that I will make dua for him at the Multism. And it was like I was just swept in at the Multism. I didn't have to push or anything like that. And I got into right at the Multism. And the first dua that I had made after sending, praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and sending durood and salawat and salutations to our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was from Maulana. So I said, I had this amanat with me, and I had to fulfill this amanat. I had a very, very, very close relationship with Hazrat Maulana. In fact, I really miss him, and I can imagine all those people who had a very, very long-standing attachment with him, how they may be missing this great personality. But to me, he stood out as a person of absolute piety and absolute humility. And I was much, 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 much younger than him. I told him, "I am muhtaj for your duas." And he said, nay. He said, "Bas mere liye dua farmaye aap. Mere liye dua farmaye." And he was always just, you know, just asking that you must make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for my forgiveness. So such a concern he had And like you had mentioned earlier, Hazrat Maulana, that we have to take a lesson from these pious people, that we also, you know, have to just not let the days just pass away in our lives. We have to realize that one day we are going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah must just be pleased with us. And this was his message. Allah ta'ala save us from your ghadab and his anger, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must just be pleased with us. But here dua farma lijiye, Allah must be pleased with us. And I remember in hospital he mentioned to me about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being shakur. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, whatever little that we do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is appreciative of those little things that we do. But he says that, you know what, the amount of sins that we have done far overweighs, and that doesn't mean humility. Yet he did so much good in his life. So you can imagine what my condition would be in comparison to him. So I can also plead to all the listeners and to all the ulama to make dua for me in the same way that Maulana has requested from me to make dua. That may Allah just be pleased with us, and may Allah Ta'ala save us from his wrath and his ghadab.
Ameen, ameen, Maulana. Maulana, jazakallah so much for your time this evening. Much, much appreciated. Respected listeners, we take a break. When we return, inshallah, we read one of the letters from the other grandchildren, and then we ask Maulana Ridwan of some of the interactions and some of Maulana's services in the Newcastle area as well, inshallah. Respected listeners, we are speaking about the life of Hazrat Maulana Hatia Rahmatullah Alayhi, and obviously we just spoke to Maulana Musa Akuri Sahab Damad Barakatuh, one of the senior ulama of the eastern area. I would like to just read another one of the letters, and this is written, My Nana taught me the value of time. He woke up early every morning, had a shower, and filled his day with a'mal, salah, or any responsibilities he had for the day. In Ramadan especially, we knew not to disturb him, as the time is very valuable in the blessed month. In his free time, he gave us advice. He made the time to phone all his grandchildren and his children every day. He was a simple man and he loved simplicity. If he told you that you were very simple, he was complimenting you. He was passionate about his food, but didn't mind chapati and tea for supper. He loved his hometown, and the people in it. He always praised Newcastle and informed us of the new developments. In my first few months of marriage, he told me to be smart, presentable, and happy, and he always advised me to be grateful. He was the perfect example of steadfastness. Every day for years and years he had a routine in which he was steadfast without fail. Even his bath time was set. We as grandchildren knew at 11 a.m., Nana's going for a bath, the bathroom must be free. He loved the Sunnah and Quran, and always reminded us to read our Masnoon surahs and du'as daily of the Holy Quran. He told us to follow the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in everything we do. And constantly, when the time was appropriate, he would remind us. He expressed his love for you, the young and the old. Many a time as a grandchild, he would give me his big bear hug, and he would tell me that he loves me. His memory was profound. Until his last days, he even remembered who we are. He quoted a hadith in Quran without any error. His beautiful character, he made every single person feel special, whether you were 2 years old, a lawyer, and spoke to them according to their interest and level. He found one good quality in you and he praised you about it. He always welcomed his guests, even if they were family. He kept family relations and always kept in contact with people. He loved company and once a while joked in his own sweet way. He had a belly laugh that made him very, very special. He loved to tease his wife and telling her that her cooking bow pretty yaar when she wore a new dress. He taught me that 2 rakats of salah and dua is your fuel in life and at times of difficulty. He always looked at the positive sides of life, even in times of difficulty. He laughed the very same day he cried in hospital and said that in difficult times you must make sabr and in good times you must make shukr. And this obviously is a brief bio of the Nana of the person that wrote it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them Jannatul Firdaus, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for them. Mawlana Ridwan, much has been said and much has been discussed. From those things, perhaps we could just discuss a bit of your interaction and Mawlana's passing away.
Mawlana, correct, in those messages and letters a lot has been said, and Jazakallah to Mawlana Musa Akudi as well for making the time. There's just one or two things that I will just elaborate on. Many of the messages that were written speaks about, you know, how Mawlana was consistent in whatever he done and his love for Quran Sharif. When Mawlana had completed his studies, when Mawlana had completed his hifz, his Quran was very, very, you know, he knew his Quran very well. But after having completed the first year of Alim, perhaps with the workload and adjusting, in that year, Ramadan, Salatul Taraweeh, Mawlana had made a few mistakes. We're looking at 1952 plus minus. And after having made a few mistakes in Salatul Taraweeh, that Ramadan, Mawlana said to himself, he said, just a year ago, I completed my hifz, and if I was asked to recite my Quran backwards, I would have done it. But in this year, I have neglected my Quran, and I make a firm promise that I will never neglect Quran Sharif. From 1952 up to the time that he passed away, it remained his consistent effort to make one Quran khatam a week.
SubhanAllah.
From 1952, that's approximately 65 years. That was his love for Quran Sharif. Minimum was one khatam of the Quran Kareem. That would only increase, it would only get more. But it was never ever less than this. In fact, his son, Hazrat Mufti Hatia, had mentioned to us that in the last few days when Mawlana was hospitalized, and it had also happened when Mawlana was at home, that because of his excessive recitation of Quran Kareem, his love for Quran Kareem, he would recite Quran Sharif in his sleep as well.
Allahu Akbar.
So while Mawlana was in hospital, he was asleep, but from his mouth was recitation of Quran Kareem. That was the love that he had for Quran Kareem, and that was how consistent he was, that he never ever gave up this practice. And my own personal interaction with regards to Quran Kareem, you know, there's tafsir classes every Thursday night. And as one of the messages said, when Mawlana could come walking, he came walking. When he could come with his walking stick, he came with a walking stick. When he could come with a walker, he came with a walker. Until towards the end, he would come with great difficulty on his wheelchair. But he would sit for the dars of Quran Kareem. And given his seniority and the knowledge, really, it was only out of his love for Quran Kareem that he would want to sit in the gatherings of Quran Kareem. He always spoke about Quran Kareem. Another point that was mentioned was his love for Sunnah. And he had such a tremendous love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that it was Mawlana's daily habit that minimum he would recite 1,000 durood. Minimum every day 1,000 durood. And then over and above that, Mawlana had specific durood which he would read after Fajr, some after Dhuhr, some after Asr, after Maghrib, before he went to sleep. There was a kitab, Al-Barakatul Muhammadiyah, from which Mawlana would recite. So over and above his minimum, and because of his love for Sunnah and his love for Durood, Mawlana was blessed with Ziyarah and seeing Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in a dream on many, many, many occasions.
Allahu Akbar.
And his children would know, because if he dreamt of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then the next morning he would give them some money. So then they knew that last night their father had seen a dream of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there's a very unique dream, one of the last, in fact the last dream, in which he had seen Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which we will discuss. There's just another one or two points I want to mention. Mawlana had tremendous love for the Sahaba. To say we love the Sahaba, which is very important and we should say it from time to time, but he expressed his love for the Sahaba in this way, that every day it was his consistent habit that he would recite 100 Surah Ikhlas for the Isale Sawab of all the Sahaba.
Allahu Akbar.
Every day he would take out time and he would recite 100 Surah Ikhlas for the Isale Sawab of all the Sahaba. In fact, explaining his love for Sahaba, Maulana would say, and he had tremendous love for the Awliyaullah, the Ahlullah, and Abu Zurghani Deen. From the Sahaba, he used to say, I love Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu the most. From the A'imma, he used to say, I love Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi the most. And from our ulama, he used to say, I have tremendous love for Maulana Qasim Nanotwi rahmatullah alayhi. In fact, when Harun Abbas Umar Barakatuh mentioned to me, he said that if need be, take my name and say this, because Maulana has had a very close friendship to Maulana Hatia. He said, I found three qualities in his life. Number one was his love for the Akabirin and the pious predecessors. He said, never did we ever have any discussion and mention was not made of the Akabirin. Every time we spoke, he had to say something about the pious predecessors. In fact, in Maulana's lifetime, he was fortunate enough to benefit from Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madni rahmatullah alayhi. He also benefited from Maulana Yusuf rahmatullah alayhi and also from Maulana Ibrahim Balyawi rahmatullah alayhi. But the first aspect was his love for the pious predecessors. The second was his zeal and enthusiasm for knowledge. Maulana said in every discussion, he used to always say to me, koi ilmi baat sunado, just tell me something, share with me some knowledge. Maulana said whenever I used to phone him, then I used to think beforehand, okay, today I'm going to share this point with him. He always was ready to learn. And like one of the children, one of the grandchildren, or perhaps the daughter, had written in a message, he always asked ulama for advice. He always sat in the company of ulama. Maulana Musa Akudi mentioned he would humble himself. He would request dua from the ulama. And the third point was this of maghfirah. He was always worried about his maghfirah. I've heard and I've seen on numerous occasions when senior ulama had blessed our town, and Maulana would go to them with utmost humility, as explained by Maulana Hatia, and he would say, make some dua that Allah Ta'ala must make my maghfirat. This is my only worry and my only concern, that my maghfirat must be made and Allah Ta'ala must be pleased with me. Despite having done such a lot and lived such a unique life, it is not known, Maulana's istiqama, and he was so consistent that his children cannot recall him ever missing any of the nafil salah.
One is when
a person reforms in the later part of his life, which is very good, and we always make dua, Allah Ta'ala give us the ability to change. But when when Apa was asked to see the wife of Maulana, Allah Ta'ala make it easy and grant her sabrun jameel.
Ameen.
When she was asked what was the unique thing about Maulana, she said, the day we got married and the day he passed away was no different.
Allahu Akbar.
What his habits were, whatever a'mal he was engaged in, he did it consistently in the 50 years that they were married. It was his habit throughout. Like one of the messages had said, that Maulana had called his daughter and said, recite this particular durood after Dhuhr Salah. I've been reading this durood for the last 70 years. And we've just learned now that his Quran Sharif, his habit of reciting Quran Sharif was also such one khatam a week, and it's been a consistent habit for 65 years. So his morning started with tahajjud, he read his ishraq, his awabin, all his nawafil salah. He is not known to have missed any of his salah. This was the life, and really this is what we know Maulana for. Was always dedicated to the masjid, and was always ready to serve deen. When I went to False Crest, somebody there mentioned to me, one of the trustees, they said at around 1995, they had made some arrangements for Salatul Taraweeh reciters, and it didn't materialize, and they had come to Newcastle to meet Maulana Qasim Sema rahmatullah alayhi, if he could perhaps send some students. But all the students had left by then, and Maulana said to them, I don't have any students. The only option you have now is to recite from Alam Tara Til Nas every day, because you are in a desperate situation. Today Allah Ta'ala has blessed us, we have many hufaz. And this committee and this team that had come to meet Maulana Sema rahmatullah alayhi had performed Salatul Maghrib in Jami Masjid, Newcastle. And Maulana Hatia rahmatullah alayhi met them. He said, what brings you here in the month of Ramadan? And they said that we are looking for reciters for Salatul Taraweeh. Without hesitation, Maulana said, I am reading at a private venue. I will stop that. But Quran Sharif and Khatam of Quran has to take place in the masjid. Every night he traveled approximately 50 kilometers to False Crest, led Taraweeh Salah and came back home. He said he did this every night. He said at that time, Ramadan was in the summer. Iftar was late. Tarawih was late. There were a lot of summer rains. But despite all of this, the windy Majuba roads, Maulana sacrificed, and every night he went to False Chris, and like this he completed Quran Sharif. So his love for the masjid and his love to serve the deen. Now we're running out of time, and I would like to mention this. You know, I have had a lot of interaction. In fact, when I came to the town, myself and Hazrat Maulana performed imamah together. Maulana was so easy, so relaxed. He came down to your level. He treated you like a friend. Allah forgive us. We took that for granted. But I was new in town, newly wed. I can clearly remember going to Maulana on Saturdays and saying, Hazrat, I want to go home. Will you perform imamah for me? And he would happily laugh and say, you young, go, go. Don't worry, I'll cover you. So he took us like friends, whereas he was much senior than us. He was always motivating. After every talk, after every program, whoever the speaker was, he always called him, he pat him on his back if he was a younger alim and a junior person, and he would say, what a bayan you gave, keep it up, don't give it up. He always encouraged people, he made people feel good, he made people feel nice. He was remarkable. When you seen him, you just loved him, and he showed his love towards you. And he always motivated the younger ulama. Maulana passed away on Sunday. My last interaction with him was that Friday. I spent time with Maulana from Asr to Maghrib. And in the entire time, Maulana only gave me himmat and encouragement. He said, carry on. Whatever little you can do, difficulties will come. You'll have obstacles. But he only motivated for the entire time, for the entire duration. But moving on to the final moments, and there's much more that could be said. One of his daughters came to him perhaps a week or before his passing away, and she said to him, she said, Abba, long now you never mentioned to us a dream of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Maulana said to her, he said, in fact, just last night I dreamt of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she said, what dream did you see? More or less, this was the summary of the dream. He said, I dreamt that I was sitting with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Qabristan. I was in the cemetery and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was present. She asked, did you have any discussion with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He said, we had a long discussion. She said, what did you ask Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And you see, his overwhelming worry was his maghfirat. He said, Allah, I said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, make dua for my maghfirat. And she asked him, and then he said he didn't hear what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, but he seen the Nabi of Allah lift his hand. By implication that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for Hazrat Maulana's maghfirat. He said, and then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to me, your time in this world is now coming to an end. Don't have more or less, this is the word, don't have any umid and any desire in this worldly life. Your time is coming to an end, and now I am waiting for you. This was the final, one of the last, or perhaps the last dream wherein Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherein Maulana dreamed of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On that Saturday night, Maulana had, with the help of those who were there, wudu was made, he performed his Isha Salah. And again, the message is quite profound. How you live is how you will die. Maulana made wudu, he read his Isha, whatever sunnah, nawafil needed to be read, whatever ma'mulat he had, whatever Quran recitation he had, he completed all of that. And then Maulana said, I'm feeling very tired and I want to go and sleep. When they brought him to the bed, he said, make a fresh wudu. They said, but you just read Isha, you got wudu. He said, no, make a fresh wudu. So they made a fresh wudu. When they placed him in the bed, he had an operation done on the right-hand side. He said, place me on the right. They said, but that is the side of your operation. He said, don't worry about it, place me on my right. They placed him on his right-hand side. They heard him read his final, whatever duas, wazifas, whatever he would normally recite. And Sunday morning, when they had went to wake him up for tahajjud salah, they had realized that that evening or that night, Maulana Rahmatullah Alayhi had passed away.
No.
And as his daughter had written, that it was his habit on a Sunday at 11:30 to go and visit the Qabristan. Every Sunday, 11:30, he had no family in the Qabristan. So it's not that he went there because he knew or he had a family member. All he used to do was go, and he encouraged people to go, he encouraged his children to go. He said, go to the Qabristan because it will remind you of your final abode. Allah Ta'ala made it such, without any prior arrangement or even having this thought in mind. At 11:30, once again, Maulana was taken to the Qabristan, but this time Maulana was laid to rest. Allah Ta'ala fill his qabr with nur and grant him the highest degrees in Jannah.
JazakAllah so much for your time, Maulana, and what an amazing program and what a motivational program. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala bless you and your family equally as well, and the people of Newcastle as well. Allah give them a ni'mah al-badal, inshallah.
Ameen. JazakumAllahu Khairan.
JazakAllah. Respected listeners, it was the Ulama Profile, Maulana Hatia Rahmatullah Alif, Newcastle. Inshallah, from myself, Ubaidullah Bawaja, Brother Usama, and the rest of the team, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala bless you all. Assalamu Alaikum Wa Rahmatullahi Wa Barakatuh.